This year's federal budget will be delivered, as we know, and it's been generating quite a bit of buzz. We're having this remarkable economic recovery, which I don't think any of us were really expecting. Even more surprising has been the absence of any talk about getting the budget back in the black. Instead, Treasurer Josh Frydenberg is focused on getting the unemployment rate down to below what it was at the start of the pandemic. And he now says, and I'm quoting him, "The best way to repair the budget is to repair the economy." It's quite a shift in this government's thinking. Could it mean we're about to see a truly transformative budget, one that lifts us out of the productivity slump we were in before the pandemic? Joining me to discuss this now are two prominent economists, Peter Martin, the Conversations Business and Economy editor and, of course, the co-host of The Economists here on Radio National, and Dr. Sarah Hunter, Chief Australia Economist at BIS Oxford Economics, and you might have seen her speaking on Tuesday at the National Press Club's Women in Economics pre-budget panel. Peter and Sarah, welcome to you both.
G'day.
So, good morning.
Yet again, we're on the verge of this annual ritual. Are we entitled to ask, will this budget be different? Sarah first.
I think we're certainly entitled to ask. I ask that every year. I think probably more importantly, I think that this year the answer to that question is at the very least going to be a qualified yes, just based on the Chancellor's speech, and you quoted a bit of it at the start of the segment. So I think it's going to be interesting how far we go, but it does look as if we're seeing a bit of a sea change.
And Peter, how do you see it?
There will not have been a budget like this in two or more generations.
It will be Peter, this is a big call.
This is not merely about getting out of the pandemic. This is about doing something which has not been done before. It's about driving unemployment down, as you said, to driving unemployment down through big government spending, and don't be deceived by the deficit and so on. What's happened is, as we know, the economy's recovered, the iron ore price has shot into the stratosphere. That will improve the budget position. I think they call them parameter variations. Sarah would have become familiar with that term since in her time in Australia. The parameter variations are improving the budget. The decisions made by the government are what to do about that. And this government will have decided on Tuesday to spend all of it. This means that rather than allowing the improvement in the economy to improve the budget position, the government, when the economy, economically, I'm not saying socially, we're out of the pandemic recession, the government has then decided to use huge amounts of spending, this huge bounty that's come in, to drive unemployment down to where it has not been sustainably since the days of Menzies, Holt, Gorton, McMahon. Have I missed one? I probably have. Since the dying days of the coalition that ruled through the 1960s. That is to say, ever since then, ever since the mid-1970s, since the era of Whitlam and his successors, unemployment has averaged 6.8%. Before that, it averaged 2%. Mm. This will be getting it down to a level where it hasn't sustainably been below 4% for 50 years.
Gee.
And by the way, this is a decision of the government. This is a deliberate decision to try and come out of this awful mess we've had with something tangible that will last. It's not anything happening automatically, and it needn't have been made. But I see political writers write about this as the government's got an election coming up and so on. That is not driving this. This is far more fundamental, and it'll continue beyond the election. Once you've set your sights and set government policy, set budget policy, set what you'll spend for a very, very low unemployment rate, unprecedentedly low in modern times, once that's the official target and the targets are written in the budget, it'll continue.
Yes, I mean, Sarah, it is interesting. You know, Peter wrote this week that budgets are a little less really about money than about values, and he's backing that up there, I suppose. Do you agree that this is a chance to address things that existed before the pandemic, particularly this slump in productivity, which I think a lot of us had averted our gaze from? Do you think there is a chance to do that now? It seems odd. People might say, gosh, what are you doing that? You know, haven't we got other issues like a pandemic to deal with? But is this the right time?
Well, I think that the pandemic and the changes it's already forced in terms of productivity and how we live and work has highlighted what can be achieved. And I think it has also highlighted what can be achieved in terms of government policy. But no, I don't disagree with Peter in terms of, I do think that it is a very definite step change in policy that's been signalled. And I also think it's interesting to note that it's not just something that we're seeing here in Australia. We're actually seeing it around the world. President Biden and the packages that he is looking to push through now, having pushed through an immediate relief package, those are, for the US economy, pretty transformative. We're seeing similar discussions.
Well, the plan is for them to be.
As well.
The plan is for them to
be.
You know, those figures that came out.
They do need to be agreed. That is true. And that is always a challenge with US politics. But just to be putting them on the table is a big step away from the traditional, if you like, from the last 20 years policies that they've had there. So, and other countries too, we have the European Reconstruction Fund and what that's focusing on in terms of climate change, energy and digitalization and new technologies. So it's very much a global push. I think Australia is part of that, but it's happening everywhere.
Do you think just that word sustainably get unemployment down is certainly hitting me in the face, Peter? We have got a lack of migration, which has played a part in where we've come in this sort of boom economy. Won't that present a clear challenge to these plans?
The lack of migration will present a problem, but we're not there yet, which is fortunate because we won't have migration for at least another year, according to what's said to be forecast in the budget. The problem is that, you get unemployment down. The Reserve Bank wants to get unemployment down in order to get inflation back up to its target, which means in order to spark enough wage rises. Mm. And, you know, in the words of Kylie Minogue, we should be so lucky. We've had no wage rises beyond, you know, the all-time lows of around 2% for 5 or 6 years now. So it wants to drive wage growth up to around 3% or more, and wage growth stubbornly hasn't been doing it. Now, eventually, if you spend so much, you'll get hundreds of thousands of more people in work. 200,000 is certainly in prospect if we're to get unemployment down to the low fours. These are people who will be paying tax, who will be making things for us, who won't be receiving benefits. That's a good thing. Now, the Reserve Bank says it'll only stop, and, you know, the Treasurer is sort of in sync with the Reserve Bank, it'll only stop when there's inflation. Now, eventually we're going to get inflation. We're going to get it because in some industries there'll be pressure on wages, some particular occupations. If we had migration, or when we get migration, that'll take the pressure off that and, oddly, it sounds strange, enable us to cut unemployment even lower without threatening inflation. Now, we're not talking here about the amount of migration. We're talking here about targeted skilled immigrants in particular areas to remove inflationary pressure to enable unemployment to be driven down even further. I should say, just on the unemployment thing, but before we get off that, the reason why I see it continuing, you know, beyond this election and so on, is that it's a bit like our success with coronavirus. You know, we had the suppression, which turned into elimination. Once you start on a program, it's a bit like dieting. Once you start losing weight, you're emboldened by your success and you want to see how much lower you can go. So this government, which may be in office for another 4 years or the next, will, I think, embrace and want to see how far they can drive down unemployment. That's why I think it's transformative, historic, whatever you want to say.
I wonder, just looking at the time, Sarah, what particular measures you think we ought to be seeing in this budget? And I'm also thinking about business investment, which neither of you have mentioned yet, as perceived to be a key driver of this transformation, particularly fixing issues like productivity. So what could we see realistically?
Yeah, I think there's a few things that it would be really helpful and great for the budget could tackle. I think giving some certainty around climate change and energy policy, that could act as a significant spur to investment in that sector. And it's very capital intensive, of course, particularly thinking about power and heavy industry. So that would be very helpful. I think looking at more policies about how we can retrain and upskill people through their working lives. So we talk about human capital a lot, and we talk about schools and universities, and they're very important, absolutely. But with an economy that is predominantly services-based, the big input to production is people, workers. And if we want to improve their productivity, then we need to be retraining and having support for that. And that's also going to be important for the people who are unemployed, who have to change sectors, change jobs. How do we get them into a productive outcome? And I would just finally say on migration, one of the important longer-term benefits from migration is productivity, because the program here is primarily targets skilled workers. They're very good for the economy. They obviously plug a skills gap, but more than that, they have very high participation rates. And because they come in with skills, they're very productive. And we know from micro studies that productive workers, actually, there are spillovers from that to the other people that they work with. So you get a double kick on productivity. So I think some guidance on how the government sees the return of migration through COVID and a new COVID normal, where we obviously do care very much about limiting the spread of the disease through the community, will be very helpful for businesses, because then they can plan around it, provide them with certainty plus a strong economic recovery. That should be a catalyst for business investment.
And just about 20 seconds from you, Peter. What do you think you particularly want to
see? It's very hard to improve productivity because we're moving more into services. But it's necessary because it's the only thing that will drive living standards long term. But certainly, yes, as Sarah says, investment in new technologies would be one thing. But we might be reaching the limits to which we can make hairdressers cut faster and so on, given that we're doing those kind of jobs now.
Okay, yes, Paul Krugman, the writer from The Economist. A country's ability to improve its standard of living over time depends almost entirely on its ability to raise its output per worker. I think that was his quote, and yes, it was. All right, look, Peter Martin and Sarah Hunter, thank you very much for joining us. We'll watch with more interest.
More interest than usual, I hope.
That's right.